ABC Radio Australia.
Sione, Stephen, Colo, David, Luke and Mano. Between 1965 and 1966, these six young Tongan boys were shipwrecked on the depopulated island of Ata. There they survived for 15 months by planting gardens, cooking together, singing songs and even mending broken bones perfectly until they were eventually rescued by an Australian sailor. Now, their amazing story has come to the mainstream in a new book called Human Kind, written by the Dutch historian Rutger Bregman, who compares the boys' real-life experience with that of the characters in the famous novel Lord of the Flies. In that book, a group of young British boys are stranded on an isolated Pacific island, but the situation quickly turns to anarchy, and by the time rescuers arrive, three of the boys have died. Now, an excerpt of Rutger Bregman's retelling of the real Tongan story was published on the weekend in The Guardian, and more than 7 million people have read the story. But it's been criticised for lacking a Pacific voice and Pacific context. Malika Gasa-Fatafai is a Tongan author and storyteller and wrote a thread on Twitter expressing why the retelling of this story was problematic for her. Now, I should note that in between the time of me speaking to Malika and airing this interview, The Guardian, to their credit, have since posted an article which features Sione Felipe Tutau, who is known as Mano in the story. But here's my conversation with Malika Gasa-Fatafai.
The story is based on Tongans. I'm Tongan. I relate, and I did not relate to that story.
Why didn't you relate to it?
So I didn't relate to the story because it was basically told in a colonial lens, and it made me feel like the Tongan men in their own story weren't prioritised. And it was just like, how can you share a story that isn't yours and still not tell the story properly?
Were you familiar with this story of survival, you know, before it was released online in an article?
Definitely. My father, so he saw me reading the article and he was like, isn't that the men who were stuck on Apple? And I was like, yeah. Because I don't speak Tongan. My father likes to translate things and he likes to just give English names to things. So I remember it. And I remember it specifically just because it was called the Rock Island and because of the history of slavery and colonization that happened on that island. So it was bizarre to see a story that I've been told differently, and then told in a way that didn't even prioritize the men of that story. The story that I remember, because again, like, we as Pacifica people are storytellers. And when I read that article, it seemed so plain. And when my father told me that story, there was descriptions, there was stories. It felt like you were there. It felt like the tale was yours as well. When I read that article, I was like, this is not a story. It's just a brief mention of a story that should have been shared properly. And I think that's what got me the most, because it was just like, you have this colonial lens that is trying to share a story, and then I look back at 5, 6, 7-year-old me being told all these stories about my people being stranded on islands and on boats, and it's told way differently to how they tell it. You can see the contrast in just the way that we start the story. We name the people, we give them their own feelings, we tell our children that there's always morals to the story as well. So it was just like, the article was terrible.
In the article, there's a real comparison to the Lord of the Flies novel. Do you find in the Pacific context that the idea of people coming together in a village, as you may say, and working together is actually not that surprising, because they all would have been looking out for each other, and that's why it was so harmonious compared to, you know, the fictional story that was the original Lord of the Flies?
Definitely. I've seen so many comments and just reactions to the article where they're surprised that island people survived being stuck on an island. And it's just like Lord of the Flies, which should have never been compared to the story from the get-go. It's an apples and oranges thing. You don't compare the two. And it's kind of like, when you look at this story with these Tongan boys, it's just like, they don't have the same system or beliefs or values that the white man does. We are raised in the Tongan way. We are raised with respect for our elderly, respect for our women. When you look at how Tongans exist in the diaspora, when we find other Tongans, we stick together. That is very much in our value system. We are a generous people. I think we're empathetic people. It's very different to the how those fictional boys were raised, because how we were raised is as a community. We were raised to build community, and it's very hard to exist outside of community.
So, of course, those young boys were creating that community when they were stranded on the island. Now, the article on the weekend has garnered lots of international attention. Like, some people were saying, thank you so much for bringing this story to light. And it was just like, well, some people have known this story, like you, for, decades and decades. But now it's just like all of a sudden it's come out. But what I was struck me was really interesting, and even Taika Waititi, the New Zealand director, even commented on it, was that it has received so much international acclaim that movie producers are now interested in turning it into a movie. But interestingly, the rights of this story are not with the six Tongan boys, but they're actually with Peter Warner, the Australian rescuer. When it comes to telling Indigenous stories and having the rights to Indigenous stories, does this kind of highlight how much of like a crazy world it is out there that, the six young boys who are now obviously elderly men don't even own the rights to their own survival story?
It's wild to me that you can't own your own story. For me, it's so hard to process that whiteness thinks it can own anything and everything. And when you look at how these boys survived, how they're all grown men now, and they've been telling these stories to their families, whoever who would listen, and then it's passed down into the Tongan community. They essentially don't own the right to their own life story. I don't know, that's very upsetting. To its very core, disturbing. Because how can you own the right to a story that isn't yours? Why do you think you own it?
And what Taika Waititi tweeted is he said that if it does get made into a film, he would like to see either a Tongan person, especially, or a Pacifica director be in charge of it so that they can understand like the nuance of Pacific culture. If it does get made into a movie, given how problematic a lot of the elements are in the retelling of this story, what would you like to see if it was retold into a movie? What would they be doing to get it right?
Well, that's an excellent question, because I do want to acknowledge that Taika really put it out there that he isn't the only Pacifica director out there. He made sure to tell everyone he's not available. I love that. But at the end of the day, I think it should be a Tongan team behind it all. You have a Tongan director, Tongan script writer, Tongan cast, and it has to be told in Tongan. Has to be. Again, it's a Tongan story. If I were to see this movie come to life, the six men, their story should be told how they want it. The story should benefit them and their families. It is something that they experience, no one else.
And let's be honest, it'd be a pretty boring film if you didn't actually get the 15 months that they were stuck on the island and it was just the recovery afterwards.
If they were to tell their story, the article that lacks so much knowledge on Tongan culture and Tongan ways of being, it would have been present. And that's all I think that we as Tongans would have appreciated. And I think that's what we into our storytelling.
And even too, the lack of Tongan language in that article, like apart from
Oh
Utta,
my
where
gosh,
they were, there wasn't
I couldn't
really.
help but take notice that he chose to stick with their Anglican names. Yeah, the English version of their names. And that he didn't mention their last names at all. Like, he just said, yeah, Mano and Stephen and Luke. And it was just like, they have Tongan names. Like, use that.